السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i-Kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, repeatedly I have been reciting this ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu taqullah haqqa tuqati. Fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, O you believers, as He should be feared. And many, many times I have explained by now that this fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must be born of His love. That Allah Ta'ala is so kind, so merciful, so forgiving. In spite of all our sins, He is giving us so much to eat and drink. He is blessing us with sight, with hearing, with speech. And each and every gift and faculty or ni'mat that He has blessed us with, every bounty of His, we use for His disobedience. But in spite of that, He gives us to eat, to drink. So we should fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ghazab and anger. That because of our disobedience, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must not snatch away these ni'mats from us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very forgiving, very merciful, very kind, but His grip is also very severe. When Allah Ta'ala decides to seize, then nobody can escape. So this verse of the Quran Sharif, it is recited repeatedly because it contains everything. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? That do not die except in a state of Islam. That when you leave this world, you must be a Muslim. A perfect, a good Muslim. Now tonight's majlis, we will continue with what we were discussing in the last majlis, and that is nifaq and hypocrisy. And I gave many, many examples of how a person's outward form can be something different. The person's statements, the person's speech, the person's tongue can be very different from that which is within the heart. Nifaq and hypocrisy has become an art which is learnt these days. We can call it diplomacy, you can call it anything else in the political world, but that is what it is. It is an art of how to speak lies. Nevertheless, just now whilst reading this Salat of Isha, a hadith came to mind, or an incident in which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because it is connected with what I am discussing, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave advice to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave advice to his son Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the sanad of the Mufassir with regards to the shan and nuzul of the ayat of the Quran Sharif. When did this incident take place? What was the background and to the revelation and all the detailed aspects of tafsir? There is no one more learned than Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Although he was the son of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abbas was the uncle, so he was the nephew of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But still, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to seek knowledge, he was never ashamed. And it is reported that he used to go to the Ansar Sahabas, whoever had heard anything from Rasul Pak, because he was young and he had not heard many things directly, but he said whoever had heard anything from Rasul Pak, so he used to go to them. And his condition was this, that when he used to go outside the house And if it was the time for the ustad to be relaxing, or the ustad was sleeping, he never used to go knock the door and get him up. He used to put his shawl outside the house at the doorstep and he used to rest there until the ustad himself came out, or the sahabi himself came out. When they saw him, they said, but why are you sleeping here, or why were you resting here all the time? Why didn't you tap at the door? He said, no, that was against the etiquette of seeking knowledge from you. And he also mentioned, when some of them asked him, that why didn't you call us? Because you are Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son. Hazrat Abbas was the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Your connection with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is so close. You should have called us. We should have come to your place. He said, no, I was the student. I had to come to you. That is how they gain knowledge. And that is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to take a lot of advice, or used to take the rai and the opinion of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu in many matters. Now this was very surprising to the other sahabas. NUR13448. Please remove your card. Now this was very surprising that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to take advice from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a young person. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas was called Bahrul Ulum, ocean of knowledge. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeing that in many things Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to give preference to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to take his opinion, and he used to, what we may say, choose Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a young person, over many of those who were elderly and senior. So Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeing this association and this trust that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him 5 nasihats. He said, I can see that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has got very high regard for you, and he takes your opinion, and he consults you, and he gives you preference over those who are senior. So therefore take 5 nasihats of mine. Now this is the father giving advice to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah. And he says that because I see this association of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala with you, therefore take these 5 nasihats of mine. He says the first thing is that do not reveal anything secret which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala tells to you. Anything that he tells you in secret, and he expects you to keep it as a secret, then make sure that it is not exposed, it is not revealed, it is not passed on to anyone else. If you want to retain this trust that he has in you, then this is my first nasihat to you. Now this is what is linked to the talk which I gave. If you haven't heard it, then try and get the tape and listen to it. But this is the first thing he says, that this secret that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu trusts you with, then you must keep it as a secret. It must not be exposed. Otherwise he will lose his trust, his faith and his confidence in you. At this stage he has got trust in you, but if you are going to give out the secrets, then he is not going to have that trust in you. And we know that at that time how many enemies there were lurking around trying to cause harm to the Muslim Ummah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was consulting, when he was finding out, when he was discussing, when he was taking an opinion, then he expected that it must be kept a secret if it was a secret. Unlike us, that if somebody tells us that this is a secret, I'm just telling it to you and you must not say it to anyone else. So then this person will go to the next person and he says, look, I'm telling you a secret. Please keep it to yourself. Don't tell it to anybody else. Then that person will go to the third one and say exactly the same thing. It's a secret. Please keep it to yourself. Don't tell it to anyone else. And within a short time, the whole world will be vibrating. And you will hear it on the radio stations of the world. This person said this and said that. Because we just haven't got that amanat anymore. Al-majalisu bil-amana, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there are certain majalis, certain kind of discussions which take place, which are an amanat, it's a trust. And the person is expected to keep it as a trust. There are many disputes that take place between parties, between families, between friends. There are many issues which arise in the community. where a person, being a senior member of the family, he is asked to intervene and try to bring about a reconciliation or bring about some kind of a resolution to the problem or try and find a solution to the problem. So now this person is brought in confidence. He is trusted. Now this person listens to everything that has happened there from both the parties, and after that he goes all around the town gossiping that this is what happened at that majlis. This is what happened at that meeting. So then it shows that this person is not one who could have been trusted. These are the things to be learned. If the person mentions it without any name and the people don't even know who he is talking about, and it is meant also with the niyat of ibrat, then that is permissible. We mention a lot of incidents like that. But I am talking about here, the people know exactly what he's talking about, and he even mentions the name that last night I was called up to this family meeting, and there my brother was there, and my sister was there, and my grandfather was there, and my uncle was there, and my nephew was there, and then this is what he did, and this is what she did, and now you are revealing each and every secret, or each and everything that was discussed at that meeting, which was supposed to be an amanat. So therefore, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who trusted Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so the first nasihat that his father, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the uncle also of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, he gives to him, he says that, look, my dear son, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Amirul Mu'mineen. And if he is taking your opinion, then make sure that if it is an issue which is supposed to be kept a secret, then keep it a secret. Otherwise, he will lose this trust for you. From there, he teaches us a lesson that if a person wants to be trusted, and if he wants to be a confidant, then he must keep in confidence what is being told to him, in confidence. This is the first thing. Of course, if in that majlis, in that discussion, in that get-together of friends, if there is a planning to hurt someone, to harm someone, to break into somebody's home, or to go and cause some damage to someone's life or property, then such kind of discussions, even if it is said in that meeting, it must be kept a secret. It is not to be kept a secret. If you can save that person's life, quietly get the message over to that person that, look, this was discussed, so therefore be on guard, then that is definitely permissible. In fact, it is highly recommended. The same car, no, the person hasn't removed as yet. 3448 NUR. Please remove your car. Polo car. So this discussion, if it is to harm someone's life and property or anything of that nature, then the person must make sure that this is not kept a secret, it is conveyed. But what I am talking about is every day in our lives, there are different types of discussions which take place. Sometimes between the husband and wife, sometimes between family members, sometimes between members of the society, sometimes in an organization, sometimes in the cabinet or in the parliament, depending on where it is. But the thing is, there are many things which are supposed to be secret, so the person must keep it a secret. That is the nasihat he gave him. The second thing he says that you should not make ghibat of anybody to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, you should not make ghibat of anyone to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He trusts you, he takes your rai, he takes your opinion, so you should not make ghibat to him. Now here again, if it is ghibat, meaning that the person is reporting something that took place so that some action could be taken, some remedy could be found to the problem, or the person is in a senior position, he can reprimand and he can put things right, then that is permissible. But here we are talking about just ghibat, where the person is talking ill of someone, behind the person's back the person is talking something which, if this person had heard with his own ears, then he will be offended that this person is talking bad about me. So he says, you should not do that, because then he will lose his confidence in you, that this person who is making ghibat of others, then he cannot be trusted. And it shows that that person hasn't made purification of his soul. The person's heart has not yet purified. And generally ghibat is made when we think of ourselves as superior to the other person. Generally that is when ghibat is made. When we find faults in others, it is because we consider ourselves as superior. Most of the times our ghibat is not for the purpose of islah of someone. It is not told to someone who can do something about what is being said. Of course, if that person is an open sinner, he is seen openly in the casinos, in the whether it's the Wild Coast or the Sun City or Sin City, wherever it is, you see him openly. And he does not mind. His pictures are taken and put in the newspapers. He does not mind at all. And in fact, sometimes he brags about his sins too. So then such kind of people, their ghibat is jais. Although we won't get any sawab for making the ghibat, but it is jais. Instead of making ghibat of that person, you rather read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, you'll get more sawab. Somebody asked Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayha that is it jais to talk ill of shaitan? So she said, instead of talking ill of shaitan, you rather read tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, but it is jais. Now here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he trusted Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells his son Hazrat Abdullah that don't make ghibat of people to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What is going to happen is that sometimes it will create a kind of feeling in the heart of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which could be damaging to the other person's spiritual self. It happens sometimes when a person keeps on complaining about someone to the sheikh also or to some pious person, then they are also human beings. They're listening to it many times, then sometimes they get convinced too that what I am being told is the truth. Although they should investigate. But the thing is, as human nature, if you listen to one thing many, many times from different people, then sometimes you get convinced, although it might not be the truth. So he said that do not make ghibat to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu of any person. Now each issue here that we can go on discussing the whole night, but the time is limited to, I just want to give you the five tonight. Inshallah we'll discuss. So he says, do not make this ghibat, because it will create friction. It will create friction. And we are discussing the same thing, that why is there so much of friction? Why is there so much of disunity? Why is there no trust left on anyone? It is because we have got these evils in our lives. So he said, do not make ghibat to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu of anybody. Then the third thing he says is that do not ever speak any lie to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Don't ever lie. If he has to ask you something, even though it may go against you, I'm just explaining, then to speak the truth. You rather take those few whiplashes of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, or even if he has to give you one, two slaps, or even if he has to chase you out, but don't speak a lie. From here again we learn that if there is a person who is close to anyone who is pious and righteous, then in his life there must be no lies. Lies is something that is detested by Islam and by Sharia, by the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Rasulullah. There are so many that a Muslim can be everything, but he will not be a liar. Certain occasions, again, because Islam is a perfect religion, it is for all times and all climates and all conditions and all stages of life. Therefore, for the purpose of unity between husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, if a person speaks what we may term as a white lie, that no, this person was talking very good about you, and then you tell the father, no, the son was talking very good about you, and you patch them up, or you tell the wife, your husband was saying that you are the queen, and you tell the husband that your wife was saying that I don't think I could have ever found a husband like this, he's like a real Raja and a king. So you speak good of both sides and try and patch them up. That is permissible. Although they too, sometimes you get caught out. Because you try to patch them up by speaking a little bit of white lie here and there, and afterwards they say, no, but that person spoke a lie. My wife didn't say such things. If she said that, then why did she behave differently when I met her again after that? But nevertheless, certain occasions it is permissible to speak a bit of white lie. But otherwise, lies, as we term as lies. In fact, our akabir, even where it was permissible to speak a bit of a lie and save the life, they spoke in such riddles, in such words, that the person got a wrong meaning and impression. But what they spoke was the truth. Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, a very great Shaykh of the time, a very great Wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, great connection with Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Salatu wa Salaam. But the British government, they were arresting all the ulama and they were hanging them. By the thousands they hanged the ulama in those days. It's nothing new what is happening now. This is their old story. So they were looking for him, and he was outwardly dressed very simply, and he used to have his tasbih in his hands. So one of the CIDs came up to him and they said that we have heard that you have also got ammunition with you, because he did have ammunition with him, he did have some guns with him. Those mashayikh, they were also mujahids. So they asked him, they said that you have also got ammunition with you. Is that true? So now he had tasbih in his hand. So he said, this is my ammunition. Now he didn't say, I don't have. He didn't speak a lie. He had the tasbih in his hand, he said, this is my ammunition. So that CID thought, well, seems like a Sufi sahab here. He's reading tasbih, what ammunition he'll have. So he said, well, this is my ammunition. So they went away. They went to the masjid, Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali was there. So he too was dressed simply, just walking about there with his lungi and kurta. So they asked him, they said that, do you know who's Mawlana Qasim? Now they were looking for him, but they didn't know him. So they asked, where's Mawlana Qasim? We heard he's in this masjid, in this mosque. So where he was standing, he just took one step backwards. And then he said, who are you searching for? He said, Mawlana Qasim. He said, just a little while ago he was here. So that person thought little while ago he was here, but he went away outside now. So he ran outside to search for him. So this is what you mean by tawriyah. That even though it was permissible at such a time to save their life, but even there they spoke in riddles. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is told by his father that whatever happens, don't ever speak a lie to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Lies and a Muslim don't go together. The person is allowed, if his life is in danger, to speak a lie and get out. But we are talking about normal conditions and situation. A woman was calling her little child and said, come, come. Now the child was running away. He said, come, come, I'll give you something. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked that woman, that what would you have given if the child came to you? She said, I had the intention of giving this date to my child. He said, if you didn't have that intention, it would have been recorded as a lie. Now these days there's so much of lies, and in fact we teach our children to speak lies. We teach our children to speak lies, and then we congratulate them also on that. What a world of difference. And we do not even consider a lie as a lie anymore. In fact, Mawlana Taqi Usmani Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, he says, or kahi sach aur kahi jhoot bole ya na bole, lekin adalat mein zarur jhoot bolega. He says, Adalat was supposed to be court of justice. So somewhere else, whether the person speaks lies or doesn't speak, but in the court of justice, there he is going to speak lies. Where he's supposed to be speaking the truth, there he must speak a lie. Because it's obvious that if there are two parties, one is a plaintiff, one is a defendant, so both cannot be speaking the truth. If both of them are just raising their hands and say, I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So what can it be true? Both of them cannot be speaking the truth. So it shows that one of them is asking Allah Ta'ala to help him to speak lies. Na'uzu billah. Now imagine if a Muslim says that and his intention is to speak a lie. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam equated false evidence when it is given before the qazi, before the judge. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam equated that with shirk. Now how much of false evidence is given in courts of law? Just for material gain, for a few miserable coins, some property or the other, and then it will not even remain or last in that person's possession. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows how to take it away too. So the person is going to speak lies in the court. He speaks lies here, speaks lies there. What happens is that after that the heart becomes dark. And the darkness of sin and the stench of the darkness of lies and the stench of lie is such that even the angels run away. The moment the lie comes out of his mouth, the angels run away. Now there are so many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which are coming to mind, but I'm not discussing it as a subject today, sidq. But the thing is that this is one of the things that Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala told to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, his son, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala trusts you, he has got a lot of confidence in you, he gives you preference even over senior people. And from there we learn that seniority in age is not what matters in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person is senior, but his actions are such that even juniors feel ashamed. Now he is not to be given preference just because he's senior in age. There are so many senior people, elderly people. Some of them have even got their beards and they've got their hair turning white. But they are indulging in such sins, that even little children are ashamed of such grandfathers. So we do not only look at age, we look at the qualities and the sifats in that person. Here Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is a young person, but because of his sifats, look at it, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is taking him into confidence and asking him for his opinion on many issues and many matters. So he says that do not ever speak a lie to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Lie is something that is not tolerated even by the mashayikh. They tolerate other things. A person commits a sin and he says, look, I committed this sin and make me maaf and all that is different. Or he says that the person committed a sin, which was not directly related to this person. Of course, the shaykh can't make him maaf for some sin that he commits, which is huququllah. But here we are talking about if he did something that offended or harmed the shaykh himself, then he'll make it maaf very quick. But when they speak lies, it is not tolerated, although they make it maaf. But when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is ghafoorur raheem. No matter how far we may have gone, I always say, it doesn't mean that we must lose hope in Allah ta'ala's mercy. If the person had this sifat and this of lying, and so many of them, they say that this is my weakness, that every little thing I lie. And yet there is no advantage also sometimes in that lie. If the person is lying and there is some advantage in it, we'll say, well, he lied, there was some advantage in it. Although it might not have been right to do so, but at least he got there was some worldly advantage and benefit. But especially when it comes to there being no benefit in that lie also, then what is the purpose of that lie? When it comes to our business matters, how much of lies circulate in businesses? The person is not asking what is the cost price of this article. He hasn't asked. So what is the need to tell him that the cost price is 100 rands and I'm giving it to you at 90 rands? Now if every item he sells at 90 rands and it costs 100 rands, will that business run? So it's obvious that he's speaking lies. So he has to add on his profit and say, look, you want it, don't worry about cost price, it's going to cost you so much. If you want this article, then it's going to cost you so much. If you're interested in buying, you buy. You don't have to ask me what is my cost price. Now that's a lie if the person says it's my cost price. Or the person puts a poster there. We are cheaper than all the rest. We are cheaper than the rest, whoever are in this business, in this type of business, we are cheaper than all of them. Now can that be true? Does the person know that everybody in town, he is cheaper than all of them? So what is the purpose of such kind of slogans? These are just small things that we ignore completely. Khair, will come back to that inshallah again. Then he says that the fourth thing is that do not let Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu ever catch you making khayanat, betraying the trust, what we may term in our societies as corruption and fraud and all kinds of things. Now he says, don't let Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala find any kind of khiyanat. Now these are the same things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned as signs of munafiq. Besides the many other things, the three signs that have been mentioned here, you have heard many times also, and that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, that ayatul munafiq is salas, iza haddasa kazaba, wa iza wa'ada akhlaf, wa iza u'tumina khana. That when the person speaks, he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. And when he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that even if that person makes namaz, and he fasts, and he says or claims that I am a Muslim, but he's still a munafiq. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that person can make loud claims that I make namaz 5 times a day and I fast in Ramadan and I make tasbih and I make zikr and I make tilawat. But if he's got these sifats in him, then he is a munafiq. It's a signs of nifaq. It's signs of hypocrisy. So here he says that do not ever be caught with khiyanat. Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Amirul Mumineen. He was in government. Now there Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu being very close. Now there are many things that could have come under this category of khiyanat. Now if we have to look at our governments, how much of khiyanat takes place, right from the top level to the bottom level. And then not only there, if we have to look at our own lives, we who claim to be a little pious and holy than others, holier than others, if we have to look at our lives, then there's so much of khiyanat that takes place. Whether the person is a doctor, is a teacher, is an ustad, is a maulana, is an imam, or is working in some office, or is in some profession, or is in some government department. There are so many issues which come under this category of khiyanat. So many issues. A person, for example, is working as a teacher in a school. Now there are lots of items belonging to the school. There's pens there, there's paper there, there's writing pads there, there's exercise books there, and there's so many other things, a telephone there, many things. Now the person is indulging one way, making phone calls because the principal is sitting in the office, who's going to check? He's making personal calls. Or the person is working for anybody else and he's making all his personal calls. Or the time that was supposed to be spent in work, now he's entertaining his friends, his family members, and he's having tea with them in the hotels and relaxing, and the boss doesn't know about it. Now we do not consider that as khiyanat. Or from the school, as I say, the person is using all those things and doesn't consider it as khiyanat. There are many things like that. Anything that is amanat, if the person does not fulfill the conditions of that amanat, it becomes khiyanat. So much so that even every part of our body is an amanat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Khiyanat of the eyes. Allah Ta'ala uses the word khiyanat. So if it was not amanat, then Allah Ta'ala would not have used the word khiyanat. The fact is that it is an amanat, it's a trust, and this person is betraying the trust. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him the eyes to see many things. Now instead of seeing that which is permissible, he is looking at all that which is haram. He is using his ears for that which is haram. He is using his tongue which is for haram. His hands and feet for haram. So all those things that Allah Ta'ala gave him as a trust, as an amanat, now he is making khiyanat in it. So this is another issue, that we do not even consider these things as amanat. Islah is not an easy thing. It is easy for those who are really interested in Islah. But as Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh says, aaj kal aksar wazifchi ban gaye hai. Wazifchi means that wazifa, just read wazifa, finish, you are in the arsh. A few tasbihs and after that the person is in the arsh. A little bit of deen work and the person is in arsh. But he just doesn't check his maamlat, his muasharat, his akhlaq, where he is making khiyanat. Again, Mawlana Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he says that one person came from overseas. And he said, "Bahut nek, dindar, namazi aadmi, person that's pious, he was taluk with the ulama and the mashayikh also. But from overseas he came, he settled in one of the countries. So he came and then to meet him. So he says, when are you leaving? He says, I was supposed to leave this week, but I've extended it by another 8 days. And I've just submitted the certificate. He says, I've sent over the certificate so that I can stay for another 8 days in Karachi. So I asked him, what certificate you are talking about? He says that I wouldn't have got leave, so I went to the doctor and I got a certificate that I'm seriously ill, and because of that I will not be able to undertake the journey. So he says, kya ye khiyanat nahi hai? Is this not a lie? Is this not haram? So he says, I didn't even know that. He says, what must I do then? He said, you should have taken an unpaid leave. You should have said that I want an extension of 8 days. I will not be able to come. Then I want an unpaid leave. Now, how many people from England and other parts of the world where the government gives big grants to those who are handicapped, so they have got these type of amounts and they have collected these type of sums and they are going out doing what? Deen work. They call them on dole, they are there. And they are going all over. They're spending so much of time in what? In deen work. In the meantime, they have submitted false certificates. And I'm not telling you a lie. It's the truth what I'm telling you. Because I was in England and I know what was happening there. Now, outwardly, people will say that this person is doing a lot of deen work. But in the meantime, it is haram what the person has done. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cannot be deceived. So he says, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala must not catch you making khiyanat. He says, khiyanat is a very serious sin. Betrayal of trust is a very serious sin. And if you want to retain in the heart of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu your trust and confidence, then you must not make khiyanat in anything. You must be very, very careful. You must be on guard. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was doing some work, and then suddenly somebody came to see him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, but it was not with regards to any kind of government problem. So the lamp which was burning there, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu switched it off, he blew it off. And he says, he's talking to him in the dark. Now look at them. Those who were guaranteed Jannat, this was their fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the Akhirat. So he said, but why did you do this? He says, no, this oil with which this was burning belongs to the Baitul Mal. And now you're talking about personal matters. So I can't use this oil that is here. This was their fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, we who are in these type of institutions like masjids, madrasas and things like that, then every now and again the person should put some extra money into the box for extra light that he may have used, or some other facility of the masjid or madrasa or school which the person may have used, which he was not entitled to use. I should not be mentioning these things, but definitely it is not to brag about it or anything of that nature, but I think I mentioned it sometime before too, that and I will conclude on this, that in the 1970s, early 70s, I was teaching the Masail of Hajj, and but I hadn't made Hajj, so I made a lot of dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, Hajj is not something that a person goes and makes on the strength of his wealth. You are the one who takes a person and brings him. So make it easy for me, because the salary was so little. In fact, it was very negligible. And although I was offered many times more than that from other places, but there was some kind of a jazba to serve in that area. So one morning, the principal of that school that was running there, the government school, because the madrasa was in the school during the afternoons, so I had a good relationship with that school principal, a non-Muslim. So he came and he said, Maulana, I've got a teaching job for you. I said, you sure you've got a teaching job for me? Because I'm a standard 9 failure and I don't know how you can have a teaching job for me. So he says, no, one of my teachers is going on long leave and I want you to take his place. 4 months he is going away. I'm going to get another teacher from Durban. It's a class 1 I will give you. You don't have to do anything really serious. So I said, I have to teach in the afternoon. I have to go to and perform the prayer, lead the prayers at 1 o'clock. He said, that's no problem. 12:30 you are finished. So what were you worried about that? Anything I said, he found an excuse for it. So I said, well, if that's the case, let me just find out from the trustees and I will get back to you. So they said, what problem do we have? Because afternoon, the madrasa, you are still teaching there. So I put on my sherwani and I went to the school and said, good morning, children. And I thought them 1 + 1 = 2. And in the afternoon, we used to teach the madrasa. So the 4 month salary was sufficient to go for Hajj and come back. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it such that something which was beyond my imagination, Allah ta'ala made an arrangement to go for Hajj and come back. But before I left, so at that time, if you had to give a 10 rand, it was big money. Because if the wages was 90 rands, so from there if you have to give 10 rand, it's big money. Because the ticket to Hajj at that time was about 450 rands, I think. So in any case, I gave that principal that 10 rand or 20 rands, and I said that this is for the school fund, put it in there. Said, for what? Said, during the 4 months that I was here, I tried my level best to stay away from using anything that belongs to the school for my personal use. But I could have made a mistake, and I'm a Muslim, and I'm accountable before my Lord on the day of judgment. So if there is a if I had used something that belongs to the school for my personal self, then I will be questioned on the day of judgment. I gave him a whole speech on that. He says, this is the first time in my life I heard of a thing like this, and it really impressed me and impacted on my, on me, because I've got teachers, if they can help it, they'll roll the whole school away. If they can help it, they'll put wheels and roll the whole school away, and it won't even cause any stir. So this is what we are being taught. So he says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala must not find you making khayanat. Khayanat is a serious sin. And the last thing that he said, that obey Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in whatever he says. He is one who has expressed his confidence in you, and he is the Khalifa of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will never instruct you and order you to do anything that will be against Sharia or which will be harmful for your deen or for your dunya. So you must be totally obedient to him. There must be implicit obedience to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. These beautiful five nasiyats he gave, Hazrat Shabi radiallahu rahmatullah alayhi says that each one of these nasiyats is better than 1,000 nasihats. If you have to give 1,000 nasihats, you say each one of this is better than 1,000. Now why did he say that? There must be something very, very serious and deep in it. But if we just take these five also for ourselves, there's great lessons we can take, and then it will do away with a lot of mischief and a lot of problems that we are facing in our homes, in our society, in our organizations, and in the nation as a whole. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, the zikr majlis will be the same time on Thursday. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.